Thursday.
Good morning, gentlemen. Rabbi Sai, our limud of Chofetz Chaim is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Yishtav Refuah Shleima, Besorich Shechol Yisrael B'Korev. So the Chofetz Chaim says in the next sif that people have a desperate knowledge. Some people, like Avadia, for instance, yeah, he's happy in his Avodas Hashem. He does the right thing, he does what he wants to do, he does what he thinks is right, and he carries on and he lives happily ever after. There are a lot of people, and he says it's a natural human trait, that people want to be appreciated, that people want other people to think highly of them, that people care what Yeno thinks about me. It bothers a lot of people, they should know how they're regarded by other people. And the Chofetz Chaim says it's a neigerigkeit, it's a curiosity, which unfortunately can kill the cat. Yeah, it can result in unfortunate results. And the truth is, you don't need to. Basically, you should be doing your avodah, and you should be living between yourself and the Ribbono Shel Olam. You do what you think is right, and you live happily with that, and you don't care what people think. Oba, people's human nature is like that. So they bring the example. So the Chofetz Chaim says that very often, the Chofetz Chaim will say that people pester other people to say, tell me, what did he say about me? Or tell me, what does he think about me? People need to know, they're desperate to know what other people think about them.
He brings it.
What?
How did I do?
Yeah, how did I do? Was I good? Wasn't I good? Did they think I'm a tzaddik? Do they think I'm a rosha? Do people regard me as a Talmud Chacham or as an Amoritz? So, they bring an example, for instance. You've got a guy, a balabos, yeah, who thinks he's a brilliant bal tefillah. And when he ever gets the opportunity, he stands at the omud and he goggles away and he makes the most of it each time. And he thinks that he's a really, he's a first-class bal tefillah, and he can't wait for the next time that they're going to ask him. And meanwhile, they can't wait for the next time that they don't have to ask him. But he needs to know whether or not people appreciate him. People want to know, what do they think of my davening? And he asks people, and people are very nice, and they say, yeah, Baruch Hashem, we're very happy, yeah, etc. Or like somebody said, I'm looking forward to Miyatz Hashem, he davened when he had your sight or something, and said, Miyatz Hashem, in Ayua Riba, Miyatz Hashem next year again, but not before. Yeah, and etc. But he needs to know.
The guy wants constructive criticism.
What? If it's constructive criticism, that's fine. He doesn't really want constructive criticism. He wants to hear that people think he's amazing. Anyway, listen to the story. So he hears as follows. That there's a guy in shul who's a bit of a letz. He's a batchan and he's a letz and he does all the Purim spiels and he's always the chairman at every simcha and he's the chairman at every dinner, etc., etc. He's a bit of a chevraman, yeah. So he can do an amazing impersonation of this balabos davening farnomet. So this guy, when he does farnomet, he stands there with his talus over thing on, he holds his talus out like that. Yeah. And the guy, yeah, this guy in shul can copy him beautifully. And during davening this week, the guy in shul, yeah, went up to the front, stood behind him, yeah, and like imitated him. You know, so and so. And everybody was laughing, and everybody was having a good time. And he heard some commotion, something going on behind. He didn't know what was going on. Anyway, after davening, he asks, what was going on? What was there? People said, no, nothing. People don't want to tell him. In the end, somebody tells him, yeah, that Pliny is a letz, and he copies you so well, and he was imitating you, and every time you went like that, he went like that, and every time you went like that with your talus, he went like that, etc. And the Euler was platzing mitgelechte, it was so funny. It was hilarious. Yeah, and he gets very upset about that. Not only does he get upset about that generally, he's upset because the letz, the guy who's copying him, works for him. It's his employee. Yeah, he happens to be employed by him. Yeah, and he's copying the boss. Says the Chofetz Chaim, it's quite clear in Halacha that, first of all, he shouldn't have asked so much. It's not good to ask all the time what people think of you. But then, once people tell you, you're not allowed to be Mekabel Lashon Hara. That's Rechilus, right? The person who tells this Mispalel, the person who tells this Shliach Tzibur exactly what was going on and that people were making fun of him and that he was the object of ridicule at the time, right? They're going to upset him, and they're going to create some enmity and some division between him and the guy who was making fun, and maybe even the people who are laughing. And if it's a person who's working for him, then he might take it out on him at work, and he's not allowed to. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Besser nicht fragen. But if yes, you're allowed to be choishish, but never to believe. That's the rule. You're allowed to be choishish to protect yourself, but otherwise he's not allowed to treat his employee any different. He can't dock his wages, he can't be rude to him, he can't make any remarks. He's got to treat him as if he'd never heard anything.
Start your day at the Turway, Northwest London, Thursday, Dalet Kislev, 5th of December, Rabbi Amram Nemeth Shlita, the soldier who went off the derech. This week's Torah was sponsored by Chus Purush Leim Mechol Chuli Yisrael. It's supposed to Asherul Ba'achayalim Ba'amil Chamosh Shulibotem Shalom B'meiro.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me. And Bashus, my father, and Rav Shleimo Tadudi, we wish Mazel Tov to family Itzkovitz on the upcoming Oifruf of Sruli. We should have simchas and nachas and good health. Okay, so I'm up to the beginning of the parsha, and there's three individual topics, I guess, that I learned or caught my eye. One I heard in the shir, and the other two I learned myself, and I think there'll be three separate points of the shir over the next 25 minutes. The beginning of the parsha, Yaakov goes from Be'er Sheva and he goes towards Haran. Now, the title of the shir was The Soldier That Went Off the Derech. It's slightly odd, and I heard everyone asking, did they really hear correctly? And the answer is yes, and the question was asked. The Shaila was asked to the Emek Halacha. If someone's son was fighting, I'm guessing it was the Second World War, and he was Jewish, he was from, and he wanted his son to come back safely from the war. So he made a deal with Hashem, he made a promise, and it had the rules and the halachas of Neder associated with it. He said, I promise that I'll give $100 towards the local school if my son gets back safely from war. Okay, so nowadays, yeah, sadly, I don't know if people, yeah, it's a sad reality which we live in. Right, nowadays it's just, I don't think the money here is, yeah, I guess. Nowadays it wouldn't make a difference, $100. But anyway, the son came back, so he had to give it. And the Emek Halacha was asked, isn't it simple that he now has to give the money to the school? It's not actually true. Because when the son came back, he came back married to a goy. He met a girl in France and he married her. So he came back healthy, physically and not spiritually. But a fast Torah doesn't really happen, generally speaking. And only in the, maybe, I don't know if this could be considered the war that would allow you to capture your fast Torah. But I guess, yeah, and even your fast Torah, look at the Ben Saira and Moira comes. It's definitely not an ideal situation to have a daughter who's found someone in France. And you're not going to come to shul and say, yeah, this is your fast Torah. He's Makayim the mitzvah of your fast Torah. I can't believe that your nachas would be from that. Unless I've misunderstood the crowd slightly. It could be. But anyway, so he comes back and he's married to a goy. And he comes back, he's married to a goyish girl, sadly. And he's also got a goyish child. So it's the irreversible, really, the pain. And he asks, the promise or the deal he made with Hashem or with the local institution was that he would give money towards the school if his son came back b'shalom in peace. So now what do you call this peace? Because on the one hand he's come back in good health and he's strong and there's nothing holding him back. But on the other hand, his spiritual peace is not there. So we daven for our children, they should be healthy. And we also daven that their ruchnias should carry on. They should carry on the traditions that we've given over to them, the Masorah. But here, obviously, married to a goy, the goyish child, the Masorah has come to a halt. So he asked, or the question was asked, whether he would still have to give the $100. And like you say, imagine it's $1 million and it's actually a big deal. Obviously, he was trying to get out of it. Now, he wasn't in such a good place with his non-Jewish daughter-in-law, and he wasn't really in the mood to give money to the local school anymore. So what's the answer?
He can do teshuva, she can become a gera.
And therefore what?
It happens again.
Happy ever after.
Happily ever after.
So what happens if they don't do teshuva?
Oh, we don't know that.
But if they have, fair enough, I understand.
No,
I think you're correct, by the way.
It's always a future, at least he's alive. With his life, his home.
So if this would happen to someone here, would you give money or not give money?
I'd give the money.
Chas it would happen. Well, actually, there was a story in monks. No, I'm joking, right? No, just saying. No, chas v'shalom. It's in Lashon Hara. Completely not true on Rechilas and everything. I was just saying, right? But what would you still give the money or not?
When he made the promise, he was only thinking of his son coming alive.
Yeah.
Coming home alive, not being killed.
Before. That was in his mind.
That was in his mind. That his son should not be killed.
Do people generally lose their faith in battles?
That can happen, I suppose. But that wasn't in his mind.
So it's not really.
When he made the neder, he was only thinking about his son remaining alive in the war situation.
So therefore he would have to give the money because he's back.
Hold on, but a lot of parents, chas v'shalom, it happens to them with a child like this. It's for them a lost
life. No, but I just want to hear what everyone would have to say. I think the answer is well, I don't remember your name, I'm sorry. Charles is the final answer that we're going to come to, I think. And I think it's also got to do with intent as well. But the Emek Halacha, Shtel Tzu, he compared it to a Mishnah. In Tful Yoim, Perek Dalad Mishnah Zion. So far, this has nothing to do with the Parsha. Hatorim Esabor, someone who takes, he declares he wants to take Truma from a pit of wine. V'Aman, he says, Harizu Truma, it's Truma. Amanosha Tala Shalom. And that's the key word over here. On condition that the wine comes up full, whole, suitable, shalom. Shalom min hasheva or min hashvicha. Then he means that the bucket, the pail, whatever you take the wine out, is full, it's not cracked, it hasn't spilled over. Avoloi min atoma, but not from impurity. He doesn't mean impurity. If it becomes tame on the way up his pail, he's still is truma. So he made the deal. He's almanas. I'm going to give truma from this wine. You have to declare something's truma. Harizu truma. It's truma only. Almanas shatar leshalem. On the condition that it comes back to me in peace. Says the Tanna Kamma, shalom min hashever or min hashvicha. It means uniquely peace from it being broken and from it being poured. But says the Tanna Kamma clearly, avoloi min atoma. But not from the tuma, and that means if it becomes impure, that was never his intent. Reb Shimon Oimer Af Min HaTuma. Reb Shimon says also from the tuma as well. That means when he said I would like this to come back in peace, he meant in peace, both physically and spiritually. He meant both, and therefore, if it becomes impure, it's not considered to be shalom. Now, you might say that's a stretch. I don't know if I would jump to this Mishnah, but this is what the Emek Halacha said. And therefore, he says, Machloikas and the Tanna Kamma and Reb Shimon. And we paskin like the Tanna Kamma, says the Rambam. And therefore, over here, in this case of Tful Yoim, we're dealing with cases of Tumah Vatara, and he puts the pail inside, he says, if it comes out fully okay, I'll give this to Truma. He means fully okay, says the Tanna Kamma, and the Halachically we say, in terms of that it's not cracked, and also that nothing spilt out from it. And consequently, he says that over here, in our case, he responded, just will come to your point in a minute, it would be the same. When I say the word shalom, and obviously that was in the neder, I want my son to come back shalom, we pass it like the Tanna Kamma. Shalom is physically and not spiritually, and therefore he's got to give the money. And that was the first part of the response. Now the problem is, he challenges himself very beautifully with the words of this week's parasha. And that's where it's relevant to a parasha theme. Vayetzi Yaakov Be'er-Sheva Vayelech Harana. Yaakov goes from Be'er-Sheva and he comes to Haran. And then he has a dream, and Hashem appears to him in a dream and says, I'll be with you, Hashem Nitzav Olav, and this will be your land, etc. Hinei Anoichi, Hashem says, Imach, I'm with you, Ushmarticha B'chol HaShoteilech, I'll guard you. Then Yaakov wakes up, He says, Ma'anoira ha-makam hazeh, how awesome is this place? Ein zeh ki im beis elokim v'zeh shah shemayim. And then, what happens afterwards? Va'yidar Yaakov neder leimar. Yaakov makes a promise. Im yeh elokim imadi, ushmorani baderach hazeh, and he'll guard me in this journey. Asher anoichi hoylech v'nosni lechem lecho, uvbeged lilboy. He'll give me bread and clothes to wear. Then he says, what's pasuk chaf aleph? V'shavti v'shalom el beis avi, and I'll return in peace to my father's house. V'hoya Hashem li lelekim, and Hashem will be for me as a God. So he uses the same word as we're discussing here in this promise, and the same word as discussed in the Mishnah. Shalom, peace. When you say peace, and we've got to look for the Torah for the translation of it, or the way the Rishonim understand it, does peace mean physically in Gashmius, or does peace mean spiritually in Ruchnius? And what does Rashi say over here? For Shavti, I will return, for Shalom in peace, El Beis Avi, to my father's house. Shalom in Hachet. Peace means whole from sin. Shloi Elmoid mi darkei Lavan. They shouldn't be influenced by Lavan's bad ways. It's not like we said. And therefore, the soldier, the $100 should get, there should be a new wing. This was donated in honor of my son who married out. Imagine such a plaque, right? Shalom in Hachet, Shloi Elmoid mi darkei Lavan. So we're wrong. And says the Eimek Halacha, it looks like I'm incorrect. But it's a chap. He says it's not true. It looks like we're looking for the Torah. If the promise was that my son should come back, obviously there's the word B'Shalom. He said B'Shalom. When we go to the Mishnah in Shvul Yoim, there's the Machlokes we pass like the Tanakama. That Shalom, without specifying maybe, I think your point is true, with concentration, if you look at the Mefarshei HaMishnah, but maybe without specifying, Shalom means physically unharmed. Like the pail which went down and can come back. Tuma, which would be parallel to Chait, maybe. Unfortunately, the Messiah stopped and there's terrible things that will come, but you still got to give the money. And therefore, the plaque should go up. This is none of my son. I don't think his kids would get in. Maybe if he gives all the money in the plaque, the Goyish kid would probably still get into the school afterwards. But 1 second. Then he asks a question. I, v'shavti v'shalom abeis avi. When Yaakov says, I'll come back in peace, so Rashi's going to touch the word shalom in this context of being unharmed. That's what we're discussing. It's not shalom in this context. It's a perfect place. And the Makor, you can see the Mefarshei HaTorah explain, says that Eimek Halach is shalom in Hachet. Shalom in this context means from sin, from Avera. And therefore we should go back to the drawing board and go back and say, maybe that's incorrect. And maybe the father can go and not have to give the money. His son came back with a goiter, with a goyish grandchild. Please.
Yaakov doesn't mean that when he says Shalom. I'm not sure what he does mean, but it doesn't mean physically whole.
No, it means spiritually whole.
Well, maybe he does. Maybe he means unopposed. Maybe he...
Oh, no, I see what you... Well, there's like 65 interpretations probably, but if we're going with Rashi, like Rashi I would say is a good place to rely on. So if we're going with Rashi, he says Shalom in Hachet. Rashi does his best to give you the Pasha Pshat as much as he can. I know not always, there's Medrash as well. But generally speaking, it's Shalom in Achet. So that's a good dictionary for us in terms of knowing what Shalom means. I'm sure there's plenty of other interpretations, at least according to Rashi.
I think the Stam interpretation would be because they were sending him away and saying, Adha Shetoshu Hamas Ochicho, and then you'll be able to come back.
Oh, so therefore over here it means that.
Therefore, Vashafti Vasholom should mean that I'll be able to return safely without being killed by my brother.
But it doesn't mean that.
But it doesn't mean that. Why? Because he said, you're looking at it anyway.
So that's, I would say, if you go back five more words in the Pasuk, what's five more words before that?
Yeah.
He says, Ushmarani, but yeah, it's the same point. That's the answer that Eimek Halacha says.
Yeah.
Right, Shkaya. Right.
Physically, then Vashavti Vasholem will be.
Right. So therefore we go back to giving the money still. Phew. So they say, see, he goes back, you have to, he says that Eimek Halacha, you've got to go back, like we're saying, a pasuk back. Im yeh elokim imadi, ushmarani baderech hazeh, ashanoichi heileich, meslech lech. Ushmarani in the first box is clearly physical. He asked for bread, like we're saying, and clothes, and to be guarded. There's no specification there, especially according to the Sefarano, ushmarani min anoshim roim, from bad people. That could not necessarily true. That could be bad people in an influence. But says the Eimek Halacha, how you're understanding, Ushmarani baderech hazeh asher anochi, you should guard me ready, v'nosi lechem lecho, give me bread, v'legel bush. Then it has to be that Vashafti B'Shalom is telling me something new, which is spiritual protection. So he goes back and he finishes off the tshuva and he says, actually he has to give the money. because you've got the Mishnah, we pass it like the Tanakama. Even the Tanakama says that peace means health physically and not spiritually. I, the Pasuk over here, really Vashalom could mean, should mean, both just physically. But because we've already mentioned in the Pasuk before physical protection, then it must be the next one, like you're saying, is talking about Shalom and Achet, and to be spiritual. Besides the fact he does leave off by saying that hopefully the guy, his wife will convert, right? The Beis Din will accept her, right? And then the child will convert as well, and the boy will do tshuva. So it's not necessarily going to end off badly, because if something's tamei, the wine's tamei, you can't cleanse it. Maybe the keli in some context, but if the wine's tamei, you can't. So he does leave off by saying, anyway, who knows if it's all going to end off bad. We've got good organizations like Aish and JLE, etc., who can help this family at this point. And Tal, and Chazak, and every up organization basically in Golden Screen. It's impossible not to be from nowadays, right? There's so many people who are giving you like sushi just to become from, then surely one of them's going to hit someone somewhere. So nowadays you would say, Kal v'chomer. They would meet one of the organizations and they would say, come on, you should marry a Yid. Oh, but I've got a guy and you should convert. So that's how he leaves off. And that's my part one of the shir, and that's the answer to that. Let's move on. The next point, it's only because in the next pasuk, as part of Yaakov's promise, is for everyone as loyal to Shanti Basevi Yir Beis Elokim, v'chol asher titen li aser asrenu loch. I'll give Maisa. And then the Gemara qualifies this in Ksuvas. I haven't looked this up this time, but famously, aser asrenu, it says twice tenths to get to give to a fifth. Although I always thought Usha has just in brackets, Usha has a principle in Ksuvas that you shouldn't give more than a fifth, because it's careless and you'll lose your own money. But looking up halakhic, the Shulchan Aruch is not very clear that you're not allowed. I always thought you're not allowed to give more than a fifth. And this should be the biggest problem that we have, whether we can or we can't. The Shulchan Aruch says if someone's poor and they come to you, you should give them money. You're not mechuyev to give more than a fifth if they're stuck, which is interesting. And I think the Chachmas Adam also qualifies that if someone's very, very wealthy and a multi-billionaire, this halakha is irrelevant. You should just give as much as possible. People, you know, philanthropists now put online, they're giving away all their wealth over the next few years because people feel bad about being so wealthy. That's interesting. To give more than a fifth is not necessarily an Avera. But either way, what I want to discuss for the next 5 minutes is something that I noticed. We just finished Tarnis in the JLE, and there's two references to Maisa money which caught my eye in Tarnis. And I want to share them with you because obviously over here, there's not Yaakov saying to himself, I'll give Maisa, but it's not Chiyuv. It's not even like it was like Gid Hanasha, Brismila, which was given to him as a Chiyuv. Then you've got the whole Mishnah in the Chulin, how do these halachas translate to after Har Sinai? It's not even that. He's saying, my personal thing. If I'm protected, like we saw, B'Shalom, then I'll give something. So where's the Chiyuv? So famously, the Gemara says in Tanis, on Daf Tes. I want to just discuss one point. It'd be interesting to hear I don't know if that's very well known to people, but I didn't know it, and I found it interesting, so I thought I'd share it. Aser Taser, says the Gemara Daf Tes, famously, Aser B'Shvilsh, it's how you should become rich, and it's the only time, Ashkeche Rabbi Yochanan Yenuka de Reish Lakish, Omale Eimali Pesukayach, tell me a Pasuk, Omale Aser Taser, he says, Omale my Aser Taser, Omale Aser B'Shvilsh, this Aser, you give mice and you become wealthy, Omale Menalach, Omale Zil Nisi, Omale Mishari Nisi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you test Hashem? This is the only time you can test Hashem by saying, I'm putting aside money halakhically. You can't just give a rough estimate, it seems. It seems to be if you go through Hilchos Maisa money, you've got to say, I earned £51, and if I'm getting exactly 10% of that, you've got to set it aside, and Kriya Hashem, you've got to call it that, in order for the merit to have effect. Because don't forget, Maisa is like a subcategory of tzedakah. There's just help any poor man or person who comes to you. Then there's a unique skula that you get from Maisa. And Aser B'Shvil Shetes Asher, so if you give Maisa, then you'll become wealthy. So it's not clear in the Rishonim that it's a Chiyuv, because here we're talking about crops and grains. And there's a wide span of views as to what exactly the Chiyuv is. It could be a Minig, it could be a Halacha, it could be Asmachta, it could be Izadrasha. All the Rishonim debate as to the essence of this point of giving Maisa money. Hence, if you're really stuck, you don't always have to give Maisa money. You've got to look after yourself first, and also the halakha goes through. But it's probably, definitely something that recommended that everyone should do. Now the question is, tzedakah, there's a hierarchy of needs of tzedakah. So you have to help people who are in your family, then you go afterwards to people in the community, then you go further afield from there. But Maisa money, if you're setting, if you want to get the merit of Maisa money, and you want it to make you wealthy, you want it, you've earned £100, and I'm going to set aside £10, you know what? I'm going to test Hashem. You shouldn't test Hashem, no. Hashem, this is on you. I want to see wealth from this. It seems to be that within Maisa money itself, says the Netziv, the merit is more powerful with certain stuckers. Now, this is also reflected, I just didn't have time to print, but the Chofetz Chaim and Avas Chesed as well, which we saw as well, who's even sharper, I would say, than the Netziv, is his language, I didn't have time to print it off. Now, I did discuss this here, I think, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, the concept of Maisa Sheni and Maisa Behema with the Sefer Achinuch. I don't expect anyone to remember, but as I was going through this last night, I realized I did discuss this once, with the concept of sending one child in the family to Koilel. Right? It was like a semi-controversial kind of point. But obviously, if no one remembers, it wasn't controversial enough. But really, all I said was that it seems to me, if you look through the Sefer Achinuch, that Leman Tilmudu Le'yira Es Hashem, the purpose of the Maisa is to go to Yerushalayim. And the Chinuch says, because you've got to eat all these tithes and all these maisos in Yerushalayim, you'll put one person in your family there. And also you'll constantly go there. He'll be eating all the food, the maisos sheni and the maisos behema, that are meant to be eaten in Yerushalayim. And he'll learn from all the Talmidei Chachamim in the city. And then he'll come back to you and he'll be the Talmud Chacham, the koidal person in the family. And then we said, whether you believe in staying long-term learning or not, it seems to be pre the Second World War, where people said that Koilel is a norm, at least there should be one person in the family who's sitting in Yerushalayim, who's learning, and he's eating all the maizos that come from your family, and he's coming back up north to Haifa or the field every so often to teach Torah. And it seems to be, according to the Chinuch and according to Tosfos in Kedushin, and it's what the Netziv points out in Hemek Dava here on Gemara Tanis, that the purpose of Maisa was to the grain. Was to support Talmidei Chachamim, was to give money towards Torah causes. And that's where, if we're looking at inherently what Maisa Sheni was, which is where the Pasuk in Re'eh is based on, of Aseh Bishvil, that you should give a tenth so that you should become rich, he says that it's if, I would say, that because the purpose of this was to give food to Talmidei Chachamim, you've got your one son living in Yerushalayim, and he'll go and invite all his friends who are scholars, and they'll learn together. Is that you should support the Torah learning going on, then your 10% should ideally, more than other tzedakahs, should be directly towards that. And there's difference to the general hierarchy of needs of tzedakah, of your brother, then your school, and then further Eretz Yisrael, then people in life, people that are troubled with life. When you, if you want Maisa money to have the segula and the merit, then that should be given to you. That's not right. So that's what he says. And therefore, go on, I'll take a question.
No, I'm just saying, it's Maisa Sheni.
Yeah.
And then there's Maisa Oni, something else.
Right. Rabbi Maisa Sheni, you have to, it's not obvious in the Pasuk that Maisa Sheni was for Torah scholars. Yeah. According to the Chinuch and according to Tosfos, that clearly you're going down to Yerushalayim to share it. And I'm just sharing that point. And I changed my Maisa money after I learned that. Look, as if it makes the world's biggest difference. I'm not a multimillionaire. But the bit of money that I give, I then changed it to give towards people staying in. I found out who was learning in Koidal the whole day. And I tried to give a lot of money towards that. And beforehand, I was much more hefka, I would say, as to which stockers I would give. But because I wanted the merit to work, I don't know if it's worked yet or not, right? But I wanted there to be the school. The Gemara says, Tanasu es Hashem. I was teaching this to people, and Ramosha Halpern was telling me, don't spread it too much, because people maybe won't give it properly. And if it's the first mitzvah they're trying to test Hashem, then it doesn't work, then you'll wreck everything. But I didn't listen to him, and I taught it anyway, and everyone's still okay, it seems to be. But anyway, that's an interesting point. If you want the merit of Maisa money to work, then it seems to be, says the Netziv, it should be directly towards people in learning, because that's inherently where Maisa Sheni come from, and that's the source of everything. That's what I want to leave off with one last point, that from the beginning of the parasha, something a bit lighter than people going off the derech and where you give your money to, two intense topics. But the first, Rav Moshe Feinstein has three Divrei Torah in the beginning of Parashas Vayetzeh, which are all saying the same theme. His kafts alay ha'aretz. He went past Yerushalayim, then he realized that he missed. How could I not daven? So how could? What does Rashi tell us? That kafts, the earth contracted, that came towards him, and the Beis Hamikdash came towards him. Then there's another point. Hashem. It's interesting. Yaakov daven Maariv clearly says Maariv before it got dark, because the sun set afterwards. It was after Plaga Mincha. So Yaakov. So this is a very interesting point. The first Maariv was done, really probably after Plaga Mincha. It's just an interesting point. Then the sun set. Then the sun set afterwards. And why is the sun set? Says the Gemara in Chol. It says Rashi, Hashem wanted to sleep there. That's point number two. Then you've got the ladder in the dream of what does the pasuk say? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein in the first three or four different Torah of this week's parasha, it's all the same idea. The HaKadosh Baruch Yaakov was going out from his place of Ruchnius, of Yitzchak, he's going out of Be'er Sheva, going towards Haran. Lest he might think to himself that Yiddishkeit is only celebrated or practiced when you're in shul and when you're with everyone else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then brings the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak, to him. In Haran, B'vavi Mishkan Evne, you build the Beis HaMikdash inside you. Yiddishkeit is something you transport wherever you go. It's not something you leave behind in the Beis HaMikdash. It's something which Yiddishkeit has always been a proponent of. We don't go to shul, then come out. You go to shul to inspire yourself for the rest of the day so you can take the messages with you. And he says, that's the ladder. The ladder's on the ground. Mutzav Aratzav Arosha Magiya HaShemayma. A person is settled and grounded, and a person is involved in building up the world. But at the same time, every move they make goes up towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How honest they are, how much Lashon Hara, how they're careful with their eyes. You're everywhere, but you're always completely up. But you're not going to stay in Be'er Sheva, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. And finally, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want him to sleep? Why do you have to sleep in the Beis HaMikdash? Is a famous question. If to sleep in Beis HaLikim, what does he care? Because it's the same point. He wants to show him that you can sleep the Shem Shemayim too. And you can go out and you can sleep and you can eat. And the purpose of a Yid is that every mitzvah that you take and every action, a tiny move that you make, should be focused on. And that's how he makes symmetrical all the first three Midrashim, or even Psukim of the Parasha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaakov was going out to Galus, so he was teaching him a message of how to behave. Don't ever think that the ultimate, of course the ultimate a person should be learning, then you come out of shul from learning and davening to bring that with you. So I'm going to take the Beis HaMikdash and kaf Seloi Ha'aretz. You're not normally said Kvitz HaDerech is, but you go faster. Says Rav Moshe, it's not like that over here. Here, the Chazal made a point to tell you the Beis HaMikdash was coming to him to teach him that his Yiddishkeit should remain with him even after he goes. Thank you everyone. Good morning. Shkoyach. I didn't say clearly that was my money though, that's the only problem. Yeah, so the bread, the next part of the class, like, explains probably. Yeah, alright. Yeah, come off the neck, yeah. Nechem is. Shkaya, thank you. Oh, Parag Zion, Mishnah, Parag Dalet, Mishnah Zion. That's the with the tumor.
It's yours.
Thank you very much.
I see a difference.
Shkaya. Shkaya.
I have to cancel other. It's hard. Yeah. 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 You have a comic show every day after Shabbos. So it's, you know, it's...
This is,